For those of you who don't know me, my name is Fiona. I'm a member of the congregation here, and it's a delight to be worshipping together this Mother's Day. Welcome to those who are listening in online. For everyone, we pray that Mother's Day would be filled with more of God's love for you. Our musos who will be assisting us today, Yung Lan and Rosemary, are singing. And we have Sam on the keyboard. And Diane later will be reading some prayers, leading us in personal prayers. We're going to imagine the rest of the service. Sometimes even the magic touch doesn't work. So, happy Mother's Day to those who are mothers. And I'm going to now actually invite Trevor, who's just disappeared over there, to come and share with us what we're going to hear about later.
Great. Thanks, Fiona. Thanks. Welcome those who are listening, who are here visiting us today. My name is Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. We're doing a little sermon series through when caring seems wrong, when we're looking at situations that Jesus encountered with people, and the way in which he went about caring just doesn't seem appropriate. And today he's at a funeral, and of the widow whose son has died, and we see what caring he provides and what we can learn about Jesus in that time.
This month, our mission focus just disappeared. Thank you. This month, our mission focus is on Cameron Blair and his family. He'll actually be visiting us next week, so it's really exciting to have them joining with us. And we'll also later be praying for Anglican Police Chaplaincy. The scriptures remind us, "You, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness." Please stand and let us sing our first song.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to stand and we're going to sing forever because we know that our God's love is forever.
He's loving to us forever.
take a moment to greet those around you. Please have a seat and I will pray for the children before they go out. Lord, we pray that all that the children are taught about Jesus is irresistible and unforgettable. Amen. Thank you. If the children would like to leave, let's say together, gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word that we may know you better, and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Please open your Bibles to page 1034 or follow along on the screen or in the handout in your news and notes.
Good morning. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, the setting for today's Bible teaching is a funeral. And I do hope you've got your Bibles left open there. And if you've closed it, open it back up again to the Bible reading. Or you can find it in your news and notes as a handout in there with some questions there that you can think about during the week as well in your Bible study groups or in your own private Bible study time. We're looking at Luke chapter 7. And in the sermon series, When Caring Seemed Wrong, Jesus Cared. Yes, indeed, the setting today is a funeral. And I gather we've all attended a funeral at some time, maybe just a few. If not yet, you will certainly be at a funeral at some time in your life. And I gather that each of us can identify with one or all in our story this morning, either with a mother who grieves the death of a family member, maybe even more closely with the death of a child, a son or a daughter. Some may even be able to identify with the fear and the loneliness and the anxiety of being a widow or a widower when your only child has died and there are no other children in the family to share life with or to provide care for you. Even so, we all know of what death is and the funeral. Death and funerals are sad and angry and crushing moments in our lives. Sad because we experience the loss of a loved one. Every Mother's Day, I remember my mother who died very long, long time ago. And I gather you too, remembering your mothers and grandmothers. It's sad because we experience the loss of someone that we love. And though appreciative of the good intentions of many or just a few, our grief is always poignant and painful and personal. Angry because whether we reveal it or not, death robs us of someone precious, someone we deeply love, and we can't get them back. And crushing because death comes to all of us, and we have no power over death, no influence to reverse its inevitability and loss. And so the funeral service in Anglican services acknowledges this reality, and it begins with the words, "We come together to mourn a relative, to honour a departed friend, to dispose reverently of their mortal body, and to show sympathy with the bereaved." Just as those did who gathered with this poor widowed mother whose only son had died. But the Christian funeral service doesn't end there. It goes on to acknowledge a further reality and says, "We believe that those who die in Christ will share eternal life with them. Therefore, in faith and hope, we offer our prayer of thanksgiving and trust to God, in whose loving care we leave our friend. We recall the certainty of our own coming death and judgment, and we proclaim that Christ is risen, and that those who believe in him will rise with him, and that we are united with them in him. For I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord Jesus. He who believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall then never die." I have a funeral that I'm taking this Wednesday. How sad for the family to lose their mother, their wife, their grandmother the week just before Mother's Day. We remember the daughter, Leonie, the husband, William, and the grandchildren in our time today. Who are the people who Jesus meets in our story today? Who is at this funeral in our Bible reading? Well, there are a number of people, aren't there? Look there at verses 11 and 12. Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples had a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was actually with her. There's the mother, who's a widow, there's her dead son, there's the crowd with her and the crowd with Jesus, those who carried the body and the disciples. Let's join them. Luke tells us that as Jesus came into the town, at the gate, he encounters the funeral procession at the town gate. There's nothing unusual about that. Like today, funerals are a daily event, and at the town gate could be significant, though. In the graveyards were placed outside the town, and the town gate was that symbolic place between where the living lived and the dead were dead. It's there that Jesus meets and stops the procession at the town gate, the place between where the living lived and the dead were dead. It's here Jesus engages with those who mourn. Look there at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, the grieving mother, the widow, his heart went out to her. What a wonderful, wonderful use of words Luke uses there. His heart went out to her. There is no stronger word in the Greek for sympathy than the word that Luke here uses of Jesus' care and compassion. Our Lord, your Lord, feels for grieving people with compassion. And Jesus shows compassion with the bereaved. His heart went out to her. But then he says, what does he say then? Don't cry. Don't cry? Don't cry? That seems strange. It just seems how inappropriate, how uncaring. To tell a grieving mother, a widow, whose only son has died, don't cry. That just seems wrong, doesn't it? It seems wrong. And then we read in verse 14, he stops the procession. He went up and touched the bier, that is the stretcher upon which the body of the young boy was placed, that they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. We have to remember here something. We have to remember here that Jesus was no invitee to the funeral, right? He's no immediate family, all right? He's not there. He's just a bypasser, a bystander, passing by. People may have known of him, yes, and some may have recognized him. We don't know. We're not told. It just all seems inappropriate that Jesus interrupts in this moment here. It all seems just wrong. And then, of all things, Jesus had the audacity to go up to the body of this widow's son and say to the dead, young man, I say to you, get up. We were taught at college, it's okay for the baby to cry at the baptism. people will think it's rather cute, all right? It's okay for the babies and children to cry and run around the church of a Sunday. People won't mind the interruption. They'll just love that there's kids there present at church. You can make a mistake at a wedding. It's okay, you know, accidentally to get the names of the husband and the bride wrong. I have done it once. People will forgive and they'll laugh about it for years. Maybe not the bride and the mother of the bride, maybe not so, all right? But make a mistake at a funeral. Cause an interruption. Cause a commotion. Come across as uncaring, say something inappropriate, and people will find it hard to forgive you. And I perceive such was the thinking and content of the mumbling of the people at this funeral, including his disciples. Jesus, you can't say that. You just can't do that. But Jesus obviously knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew that he had come to help his people, to help this woman to care and for her son. Though inappropriate it may have seemed to the mother and wrong to those who mourned with her, with a word, Jesus stopped the procession. Verse 13, look there with me. He spoke to the dead. And we read, the dead rose. Young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. What a moment. What a moment. Chills. My hair's in the back of my neck is sort of going up a little bit. What a moment to be there. I wonder what he said. I'd love to know what the boy said. But that's irrelevant. We're not told. What we are told is what everyone else said. Crying ceased, and filled with awe, they praised God, saying, verse 16, look with me there, a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. And look with me at verse 15. Returning what was robbed by death, Jesus gave her son back to his mother. What compassion. What understanding. You know, what care. When the caring just seemed wrong to everyone else. This story, brothers and sisters, is not told for us to emulate, all right? Please don't tell someone at a funeral, don't cry, all right? Please don't interrupt a funeral, and please certainly don't go up to the coffin and say to the dead, get up, all right? But certainly, brothers and sisters in Christ, inappropriate or wrong as it may seem to most, please be mindful of the power and promise of the person who did and who can, Jesus. What does this teach us about our Lord Jesus? Well, it teaches us that we can be certain, if not already, that Jesus is God. For no one else can raise the dead. And he had come to help of his people. He came to care, to give the care that no other person can give, but only God can satisfy with. And as God in the flesh who has come to the help of his people, Jesus not only has authority over sickness, over sin, over nature, over evil. As we read through the gospel, the eyewitness accounts of those who were there, and to call people like you and me to follow him and to trust him at his word, he also has authority over death, over our loved one's death, even over our own death. Yes, even your death and my death. For our Lord's heart goes out to us too. And inappropriate as it may seem, and wrong to tell us, don't cry. Jesus knows what is going to happen to us. Jesus knows that God has come to help us too, who mourn the death of Christian brothers and sisters, mothers in the Lord, fathers in the Lord, and children in the Lord, and knows of the certainty of our own coming death and judgment. For with a word like he has done here, our Lord will speak to the dead. And one day, we, like this young man, will rise. How will this be so? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, we read, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And in Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And as I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now is the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. What might we remember from Jesus' encounter with the widowed mother? It's this, that in death, don't cry. In Christ, we have a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's more to this story. The story doesn't end here. Yes, we're only told that Jesus reunited the widowed mother with her son and that the people praised God. We can be certain that all who were at this funeral, the disciples, the crowds, the widow, the mourners, the son, and Jesus too, all died. Funerals were held. Dead bodies carried out of the town of the living to the graves of the dead via the town gate. And people cried. And it's the same today. But I'd like to think that those who were at this funeral that we read today and at future funerals remembered Jesus. Remembered Jesus' care as they passed by the town gate each time. His compassion, his understanding, his caring. That they remembered the widowed mother and the bringing to life of her son and of Jesus' death and his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to return, as I hope we do at a funeral and every day. And as we walk to the grave, we no longer look upon it as a place of the eternal dead, but where the living in Christ, there but not, are with the Lord, waiting with us for the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. And as we do, we say, with words similar in the funeral service, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. In your keeping are all those who have departed in Christ. We here commit the body of our dear brother or sister in Christ to the ground or to be cremated. Earth to earth, we say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again for us, and who shall change our mortal body, that it may be like his glorious body. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, we say, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What a great day that will be. What a wonderful day that will be. When Christ returns, and with a word at the beginning of the new creation, he will speak to the dead, he will speak to us, and we will rise. Crying ceased, reunited, and filled with awe. We too will talk. We'll talk in praise of God forever. Saying God has come to help his people. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Amen and amen. Let's sing, shall we?
Remain standing as we say together what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We
believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We
believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Great God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that, running in the way of your commandments, we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Great God, our God, our loving Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit, which you have given to guide and lead us in the ways you want us to live. And we thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to bridge the gap between you and us. It is in his name we pray to you our heartfelt prayers for the world, the nation, and our community. We pray for your mercy on those peoples who wage war, usurp power, and show aggression to others. Please bring peace to those places where there is so much destruction of homes, livelihoods, and lives. We bring to you especially the ongoing battles between Israeli and Palestinian militant groups, National Army and Rapid Support Forces in Sudan, Ukraine and Russia, and those countries with uprisings and unrest like Pakistan. Provide support and safety for the refugees and supply them with food and medicine and protect them as they seek somewhere safer to live. We pray for relief for people suffering the effects of weather events such as flooding, drought, or bushfires. Flooding particularly in Uganda, Rwanda, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and forest fires in Canada. We ask for your workers to bring the knowledge of you to these people to serve their spiritual needs too. We ask for your blessings for and through your missionaries across the world and also those who serve here in Australia. We bring before you especially those individuals and families who have found refuge in Sydney and come under the pastoral care of the Blair family. Grant to Cameron and Lara and their family the resources and opportunities they need to reach out, especially to refugee youth and their families, and to care for them. Provide your strength to those who serve as Anglican police chaplains as they offer pastoral care for those who work in our police service, and grant your wisdom to our court judges, the court staff, who deal with people for whom life has overwhelmed them and led to some unwise life decisions. We ask you to lead our country well through those elected into parliamentary positions, both federally and at state levels. Guide them in truth and wisdom to work for the good of all who live in Australia, especially as they administer the financial aspects required of their roles. Give our local councils also the focus, honesty and humility to make good choices in governing their suburbs even-handedly and well. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. This may bring great joy for some, or sadness for others, or mixed emotions depending on individual circumstances. But we pray for all mothers who do or have done the best they know how. We thank you for the role models of good mothers we have known, whether birth mothers, adoptive mothers, or mother figures in our lives. We thank you for all women who have filled this role in our lives, provided support, counsel, and love when we've needed it, selflessly and generously. We offer prayers for anyone who is currently unwell or facing health challenges at the moment. We ask that your spirit will draw close to them and prompt them to call out to you, loving Father, who know all that we face and hear our cries. Restore them if it is your will and bring them the comfort and peace that can only come from you. Amen.
Time for a bit of family business now. We welcome everybody who's here today. It's delightful that we can freely meet together and worship God. As mentioned earlier, our mission focus for May are ministry with refugees through the Blairs, and next Sunday we look forward to having Cameron come and share with us. And I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, thanking God for all he's given us and the little bit we give back to him. Lord, all gifts come from you. We thank you for your generosity and pray that you would continue to use the gifts that we give to St. Andrew's to keep spreading the good news about Jesus, who raises the dead to life and gives hope in hopeless situations. We praise and thank you in his name. Amen. At the end of the service, if anyone would like prayer about anything, Junglan and Dick will be down the front here, and it's it's their privilege to pray for you. After the service finishes, please continue to be aware of COVID still lurking in the background, and allow a bit of space moving outside. The sun's shining, so we can enjoy having a nice lot of space outdoors. As we prepare to leave, let's stand and sing. My heart is filled with thankfulness. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Together, Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for coming today. Have a lovely Mother's Day.